The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Welcome to a special bonus episode of Gaming Ride Home. I am Kyle Hilliard, but hey, you hear from me all the time if you're a subscriber. You're here to listen to an interview with Benjamin Truman, who is credited as a writer and designer on Black Mesa, the full remake of Half-Life that started as a fan project and then turned into a full-blown release over the course of more than a decade. I talked to Truman about what it's like to work on a game for more than 10 years, how much of the game the team ended up changing in its remake, why Zen was overhauled so heavily, and how the team managed to get the game out the door right before the release of Half-Life Alyx. So when did have you been with the project the whole time?
Not the entire time, but I mean almost, maybe under a year after they started up, I got involved.
Okay, so more than a decade, right?
Yes, I mean, it's astonishing. I turned 36 last year, and I realized that I've been working on this game for like more than a third of my life at that point.
It was
astonishing to like see the numbers like that.
Was there a line that it crossed when it became a full-time gig, or is it a full-time gig, or is it still like a secondary thing?
For me it's definitely the primary focus of my time, you know, work-wise, but I also have like a part-time job teaching at a school here in Tucson, Arizona, and I've done some writing work for like comic books and stuff like that also. Now that we've released the game, kind of going forward, we're looking into, you know, trying to move contractors into like full-time workers in a like a company-like setting. But that's just, you know, that's just the wheels turning still on that kind of stuff.
Yeah. So what is your role exactly? What is your title? What did you do for Black Mesa?
I started off as a writer. I kind of made a job for myself on the team. A friend of mine, they told me that they could probably bring me on as a modeler. But we had to start at the beginning, we had all a large contingent of us from Crowbar Collective had all actually met at the Art Institute of Pittsburgh when we were all attending that school for the our game art and design bachelor's degrees. And that's how a lot of us like got involved on the team at the time. Like the Black Mesa Source team was just kind of like one got on from school and then kind of like held the door open and waved in a bunch more of us. And we all kind of, you know, got in there and took up like a pretty good chunk of the actual team. It was like a good group of like localized people in Pittsburgh. And some of my friends, they called me up and they said like they knew I was a huge Half-Life fan. And so they had offered me a chance to like do modeling work, 3D modeling work on the team. And I was not very passionate or interested in modeling work, but I did know from my connection with these guys that they didn't have like a writer on the team. And that was always my my favorite thing, you know, my main passion outside of actual game design. And so I kind of insinuated myself, like inserted myself onto the team in a writer position. And so then that took, you know, adapting the old script, making sure that it was could also like fit or like, utilize all the new things that the Source Engine presented, you know, like creating like new dialogue for NPCs, setting up the scenes in FacePoser, the Valve Source SDK, like choreography tools, directing voice actors, you know, setting up like the individual like voice dialogue, like bits and pieces in the game itself, you know. So I just kind of like from a writing position, it eventually evolved into the story lead. position where I was then, you know, kind of taking care of all the what we now call like a narrative designer. Really, at that time, I didn't even know that that position like existed or that there was a name for it. So we just called me story lead.
Gotcha. Well, yeah, I mean, I guess that brings me to my next question of just like, you guys did like write new things and re-record dialogue. Like I kind of assumed that you were just kind of like wholesale taking even recording and, you know, all the dialogue from the original game. I didn't realize you guys had made like new audio and stuff like that.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. We, I think that might've actually been a rule from Valve that we couldn't use their audio or something.
Oh, interesting.
We had to redo, I think, I don't want to misspeak there, but there is a reason, like we did the HEV, like the HEV is all of our own dialogue. That's not even the original source files, like ported over from Half-Life to Black Mesa. Like we had to re-record all those. The Vox stuff is all re-recorded. So I don't know if we were allowed to.
Did you have to find like sound alikes and stuff like that?
Yeah, we held a audition, like an open audition, like way, way back in like the mid 2000s. And that's how we found Mike Hillard and Kevin Sisk. Mike Hillard plays our scientist and Kevin Sisk plays the security guard and G-Man, into doing the Mike Shapiro line, filling in the role for Mike Shapiro of doing both Barney and G-Man. So then we had Kevin Sisk also do Barney and G-Man.
Oh, that's, yeah, no, I guess it's, I think it's a compliment to say that I didn't know. Like, I thought it was like, you know, I was like, wow, they, I guess they just like really cleaned up the original audio or something like that. You guys cast it well.
that's really great and gratifying to hear. We had a kind of a chance encounter with Mark Laidlaw at Dev Days a few years ago. And he even said that, oh gosh, I'm going to butcher this anecdote, but he said that Hal Robbins, the original voice actor for the project was like being mistaken, you know, people were like apparently like complimenting him and his involvement in the game or mistaking his involvement for the game and stuff like that. And he was calling around trying to figure out what was going on. So that was, you know, also like a funny, just a nice story to hear. Complimentary, yeah, okay. Of course, to Mike's talents. Yeah.
He's like, wait, did I make another Half-Life game? I don't think I did. Oh, that's right. Funny. Yeah. What was it like working with Valve? I mean, were you checking in with them a lot? Were you, as you were changing things and writing new dialogue, did you have to get approval from them, or were they pretty much like, you know, shoulder shrug, kind of like, yeah, just don't, you know, blow up any planets?
Exactly. We cannot say that we worked with Valve by any, you know, as dreamy as that would have been, like we, but they did, they just kind of like shrugged and tossed us the keys to the kingdom. And like, that was it, you know, that's like, they just kind of gave us our blessing and stepped off. They would show interest whenever we'd release a trailer or something like that. They would, you know, kind of pop in every once in a while. Way back in the days of the original Steam, green Steam, there was like a little Black Mesa update on there one day. We like fired it up and they were like, hey, Black Mesa looks pretty cool. And that was just, you know, mind blowing. Cause that was the only kind of like, real communication or even like, acknowledgement of our existence that we were getting from them beyond the initial, like, you know, just their blessing.
Yeah. I mean, now that the game's officially out, have you gotten any kind of feedback on the final product or anything like that?
You know, we don't like go like soliciting it directly. We kind of hear little bits and pieces, you know, from the side. Like there was a really gratifying interview, I think, in PC Gamer, where I'm not sure how to pronounce this guy's last name, but Dario Caselli, I believe his name is. He had said that he, you know, will play Black Mesa over the original Half-Life, and we got to meet him. We visited Valve a while ago and we got to meet him and talk with him. That was really cool. And then to see him, like, you know, just like name drop us in an interview after the fact was, you know, just that's the kind of stuff, you know, that's all we can expect. That's all we hope for. We really like that kind of stuff, you know.
I guess one of the questions I had written down, which I wonder if you even have an answer for, really, is like, I wonder if because changes were made and Zen is so expanded, which I'll ask you about that in a minute. Like, mm-hmm. I wonder if they consider this the canonical version of Half-Life now because there are changes in it, or is it just kind of, you know, I wonder what they consider it at this point.
Have you had any experience with Half-Life Alyx yet?
I have played and finished Half-Life Alyx, yes.
Okay, wonderful. All right, me too. Cool. So without getting into too many like spoiler territory, you know, but there is like that kind of Zen overgrowth stuff.
Yeah.
And so we, you know, like when those Zen plans initially came through, we were really kind of flying blind and going with a lot of gut instincts. And the lead designer of Zen, the person who kind of put together the initial pitch document, Chris Horn, he had all these ideas about, you know, like Zen flora and fauna and how they work together and all these environments and stuff. And there was something really interesting playing Half-Life Alyx. I don't know if you saw this, but there were these little like tendrils growing out of the ground that were just like mini half-developed tentacles, like from the Half-Life monsters. There was a magazine cover that had like a picture of Alyx, and it was like a really nice like illustration, and that also kind of highlighted one of these weird little tendrils. Maybe I can send you a link or something after the fact to show it off. But it was cool to see that a lot of, like I said, a lot of these gut instinct things and like ideas that Chris had kind of fleshed out of this original document and the original world is apparently like really in line with, you know, what Valve did. I feel, you know, looking at like some of the weird things that they did in the Zen world and some of the things that we did in our Zen world, like we definitely diverged in our own way. But because we were drawing from their world, and because then they drew from their world also, there are these kind of like nice little overlaps and, you know, things that seem to match up nicely, you know, coincidentally or like serendipitously, you know, yeah, without any kind of outside, you know, contact. But it's cool to see like those things coming back and mirrored in our version and their version.
Yeah. So, I mean, while we're on the topic of Zen, I mean, why remake that portion of the game so thoroughly?
I would say that because that's a tough one. It's like, I would say that because the original is kind of like universally, I don't want to say like reviled, but you know, the original Zen is known as like a kind of like a weird, like dull thud in that the initial like Half-Life storyline. I didn't really mind it that much as a kid playing it, but this is, you know, something that you and like the gaming press and like stuff like that have probably, you know, aware of Zen's reputation in the
yeah, of course. I'm with you. Because I played it when I was young, and I thought it was a cool finale. And I was, mm-hmm. It did kind of, I like coming back around on it and reading about Half-Life and stuff. I was like, oh, I guess people don't really like Zen. Okay, that's surprising. Yeah. But yeah, so that was kind of an incentive for you guys to like take another look at that part, which is generally underappreciated.
Yeah, it just looked like it needed to be kind of like revisited. And there's a lot of like, you know, game design stuff that we've tried to learn and pick up on, and like you know, and even just this kind of weird one-way communications that you have from Valve with like their developer commentary and stuff like that, and you know, reading game design articles, those kind of things, just trying to modernize the approach to trying to make like a weird alien world and make it fit in the Half-Life series and still seem like it, you know, like a modular bit that can, you know, snap into the end of the Earthbound segments and stuff like that. But I guess just we were so ambitious with the idea that we needed to recreate, you know, that we needed to gut this thing and just like do like a complete rebuild. I think that's like how it became so huge, you know, like in terms of like scope. And that's why it took so long to complete, is that that initial thing that like we have to, you know, go pave over everything, you know, that kind of like laid out this huge expanse with maybe not as many constraints as we needed, you know, to finish like a few years earlier or so. But, you know, with all that said, that's kind of how it came to be this way.
Yeah, no, it's been funny because I didn't realize how much had been, how much you guys basically added to Zen. So I've been streaming the game and I've been making steady progress. And then like a week and a half ago, I'm like, all right, well, I'm heading to Zen. So I've probably got like, you know, 2 hour long live streams left. We'll finish this up. And I'm like going on like day six.
Man.
And I'm like, oh,
yeah,
I'm still in Zen. There's a lot here, which is cool. Like I just got to like the area where the Vortigaunts are kind of like sort of friendly.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I don't want to spoil too much, but I've been really digging it. And the big thing for me is like, it was very surprising how long it's been, but I've been enjoying sort of the expansion of that section of the game. It's been
cool. That's really great to hear, because that's where our audience there, we're hearing both sides of that, you know, where some really do wish that it was a much breezier clip, and then others we're hearing that people are just loving the opportunity to just spend more and more time in this world and interact with more stuff. So, you know, we're taking in both sides of that, but it's really nice to hear that you're enjoying that stuff, and especially that Vortigaunt stuff. That was some of my most that was some of the stuff I was proudest of, with how it turned out, judging by just like the online reactions and, you know, like fan response to that kind of stuff. So I'm glad you're enjoying that.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait till you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the "no animals were harmed" message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
In terms of, like, you know, the majority of the game, which is just a full-on remake, like, were you guys able to use any code from the original game? Were you able to build on top of, you know, existing elements, or was it really just starting over from scratch and looking at the original game?
Okay, like, so we started on the original, like, source SDK. Like, I mean, honestly, like, don't tell anyone, but like, these guys started on the initial, like, leaked Half-Life 2 beta, you know what I mean? Like, so that's actually been one of the biggest things to, you know, like, one of the biggest problems in building this thing is, like, holding on to all this old code and building all these things, and then as things advance and as the engine gets older and older and things aren't advancing there, and trying to port things from different versions of the source engine. You know, I can't speak to how much of the original code is there and how much is not. Like, I remember we threw in our the HECU, like the human grunts. We threw them in with a stripped down version of the Combine's initial AI, and I think it's still basically that. You know, but that we brought in a new programmer in the last couple of years, and he really came in and retooled a lot of that stuff. So, I mean, I guess it's fair to say that, you know, there's still that, like, base there, but they've built so much on top of these things that I don't know. I would not be the person to ask to, like, you know, figure out where our stuff begins and their stuff ends.
This is, and then now, kind of off the back of that, this is like a two-part question. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, you guys are on your, you know, boots on the ground, you're remaking the game, you're making progress, and then as you're looking sort of at the broader, you know, design document of the game, what is the point where you're like, ooh, I can't wait to work on that part, I really want to remake that part? And then what are the parts where you're like, ugh, I'm dreading that. I just want to finish that section as quickly as possible so we can move on to the fun stuff. You know, like, what is the part you're excited to remake? What is the part you were dreading to remake?
That's a good question. I was, you know, I was just, like, excited to be along for the ride there. It was, you got these, like, huge documents in. And, like, looking at them, you could tell they were huge and there was a lot going on there. There was clearly, like, a huge amount of thought put into the world and the environments and why these things interact in the ways they do, why this map looks this particular way and this map, you know, looks this particular way, like the flora and fauna over here as compared to the organic environment stuff over here. You know, so just kind of seeing all this stuff get built up and then having these maps that were, like, beautiful and really cool, but they didn't have, like, enough to do inside of them. So I guess that's the part where I got really excited, was like, oh, we've got these spaces now that, like, we've created all these spaces, but we don't have, you know, we don't have enough to do within these spaces. So then I got to kind of, like, try to figure out the core, you know, design, like the way to slowly progress these ideas and these puzzle sequences, you know, step by step, level to level. And, like, we did a lot of really fun stuff with, like, teleportation and crystal chargers and pedestals and things like that that weren't in the original game. And so I got to kind of figure out how to break down those puzzle pieces, you know, how to, like, basically boil that down into like the most, like, you know, the primary components and figure out how to distribute them, you know, piecemeal throughout the level so that by the end of the level, the player knows what to do when we throw like a larger puzzle at them. That was the kind of stuff that really, really, really excited me to get involved with that. In terms of things that I was dreading, that's a tough one. It's just the thing that would create dread would be the flip side of what I just described there. The idea of like, oh, cool, a big open space, and I get to like figure out what we get to put in here to make sense of it, to make fun of it. But on the flip side of that, the thing that was so dreadful was maybe like too much expanse and not being able to like cut things and kind of having to be forced into, you know, maybe elongating puzzles longer than they, you know, past their welcome or things like that. That would kind of be the hardest thing would be, or what I would dread would be, you know, too much.
Like remaining too faithful, maybe, in certain situations?
Yeah, I don't even know if, like, faithful. I don't know if you can even, like, look at the game and say it's faithful at this point. You know what I mean? More like just trying to, just kind of, like, looking at it and being like, this is what it is. Like, this is what's going in the game. It's too big. It can't get cut. Like, we have to make this work. And, like, I am sweating it, you know, trying to make this work. I think that would probably be what I could describe as a dreadful. I don't know if I might have gone a little out of the range of your question there, if that's...
No, that's fine. Yeah. So the game released pretty close to Half-Life Alyx. Was it like a week or 2 weeks, maybe, something like that?
3 weeks, something like that. We timed it so that we saw this huge release window coming in March where it was like Half-Life Alyx, Doom, and like all these other games coming. And so we planned it that we would be able to have at least like 3 to 4 weeks of an opportunity where we could, like, you know, hopefully dominate the news cycle for a little bit.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's my question, is like the proximity to Alyx seemed very smart. And I mean, considering you guys worked on the game for as long as you did, like, to me, it almost felt like crazy that the finish line came so close to Alyx. But that was, I mean, you guys tried to get as close to it as you could when you learned that Alyx existed.
We were like kind of sticking a landing in that direction. But when, like, you know, when we came to, you know, when we suddenly realized that the prospect that another Half-Life game might actually be released before we finish this thing, that was like, I think that was, you know, just like heads down, nose to the grindstone, like, we have to finish this by, you know, end of February, early March, because we cannot allow this to, you know, we can't allow ourselves to be on the other end of that Half-Life release.
Yeah, I mean, and it's not like Valve just like sent you guys an email a while ago that was like, hey, heads
exactly.
up, we're working on something, you might want to get yours out around the same time because there's gonna be a lot of hype around Half-Life, just
right.
ahead. You didn't get anything like
we were,
that
we
right?
were as surprised and excited as the rest of you, you know. It was amazing. Yeah. Yeah.
And you have played through Alyx at this point?
Yes, I did. I got to. I've got an old Vive, and I bought myself some Index controllers, and I was able to give it a go through, and it was awesome.
Yeah, I mean, quick review, I mean, like, what do you think? Did you enjoy it?
I am still, yes, I definitely did. I'm still putting together a lot of thoughts on it. I think I love it, absolutely. Like, there's no question about that. I think what I'm experiencing right now is trying to figure out, like, my expectations versus reality, knowing that Sean Vanaman, I'm not sure what his name, how to pronounce that last name, the guy from Firewatch, guy from Firewatch, Walking Dead Season 1, like, did all these like great narratives, especially at Firewatch, like first person narrative where it's just you and the voice on the other end of a radio. And I think I was building up in my head, like, the end of the game is incredible. It's like an amazing reveal and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
but
no,
I think
no
I was,
spoilers, obviously,
yes,
if you
yes,
haven't
okay,
been
yeah,
Alyx,
yeah,
but
I will
fantastic conclusion
myself.
To Alyx. Like, I absolutely
yes.
agree with you. Yeah.
Jaw dropper. It was really, really cool. Really well done. Expansive and, you know, more questions, less answers, blah, blah, blah. But, the idea of Alyx, I hyped myself up thinking that this Firewatch thing, having the writer from Firewatch, one of the writers, I'm not sure how many they have, but having him there and like Alyx, like, Valve is breaking the silent protagonist thing. So it must be very important that you are going to be a character communicating with somebody. I was just building up all this stuff in my head, and I don't think I got the Alyx-Russell relationship was great, but I was just expecting more of like an emotional core at the center of that like narrative with like you and the voice on the other end instead of just like the constant joke stream. I don't know if that's right or wrong, you know, that's just kind of like my take right now. I might completely revise this after, you know, playing through the game again and really trying to digest more of the story. But that's where I feel something was missing for me.
Yeah, you know, I think that's totally fair. I'm kind of on the opposite end because, like, I love all of Valve games. I love Half-Life, but Portal 2 is like the king of the heap as far as I'm concerned. I love Portal 2. So to get basically like Eric Wolpaw comedy chops in there for like the course of the game, I loved it, man. Like, I never thought in a million years that like the funniest game of 2020 would be Half-Life Alyx. I totally understand what you're saying, because like Russell is comic relief, like absolutely. Mm-hmm. But it's like really good comic relief, you know, like
yes.
It's
yeah, don't
it's,
get me wrong,
it's the
yeah,
writers of Portal giving you more comic relief, but yeah, but you're right, it doesn't end in like a way where you're like, you know, they really arrived somewhere, these two. It was more just like, you know, Russell made a lot of jokes and taught Alyx a lot about what the world used to be like, mm-hmm. and stuff like that. So
even the father-daughter relationship, like the Eli Alyx thing, I mean, it was there in these kind of like bits and pieces, but I was just expecting more of a character-to-character connection throughout, you know. Like I was just, I don't know, it's just, that was my own expectation. So
playing it against
reality, still happy with the finished product, really, really loving it. But that's what I was hoping for. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah. So circling back to, you know, the reason I called you, Black Mesa, of course. Are you guys thinking about controller support? Is there any thought of bringing it to consoles, or does that get complicated considering, you know, it's Valve's IP and all that stuff?
Yeah, that's the scary, you know, like to me, that's like the huge adult world of things I don't quite understand, like how those transactions are made, you know, and how those things are rolled out. The console thing, I mean, it sounds awesome. If Valve was on board with that and we could figure out a way to do it, I mean, it sounds like a really, really great opportunity, you know, for us and for hopefully like console players and the Half-Life world and all that kind of stuff. You know, if it plays out, we would love for that opportunity, but we don't know what the, like, you know, the financial realities are, like the workload realities of that are. At least I don't. I'll speak for myself.
Sure. I mean, and I understand that it would take Valve kind of stepping up and mm-hmm. right, because like they would have to give, because it sounds like it's great the way they worked with you guys and kind of letting you off the leash, but once console ports come into the picture, they'd probably have to kind of like roll up their sleeves and be like, okay, we gotta sign some paperwork here, right?
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. Like, it just seems like even with like I mean, you're never going to see Black Mesa on the Epic Game Store, I'm guessing. You know what I mean? So I don't know if like...
Death Stranding's getting that Half-Life content on the Epic Game Store, so...
Really?
Which is interesting. Super weird.
Interesting. Wow. Yeah. What an overlap there.
Holy I know. Yeah, weird. But what about controller support for the PC version?
Yes, we are... I promise we are working on that, and I scour the our negative reviews on Steam, and I see people disappointed and upset about that controller support, and also that some of our controller support that we did have, or like key binding stuff, isn't accessible to like all gamers in terms of, you know, just like what they are with what they can work with. We have to figure that kind of stuff out. That is on the horizon. And we do hear, you know, people calling out for controller support, and we're trying to get all of that up to speed quickly, because we want people to play the game. We don't want there to be any roadblocks to people getting to enjoy it.
I'm going to butcher the quote here, but I remember like shortly after Half-Life 2 came out, Gabe Newell basically said that they announced they wanted to make new episodes, episode 1. And he said the reason that we are deciding to do this, because it was really novel at the time to add an expansion that way, is he's like, this team is really good at making Half-Life 2. So I want them to be able to keep making Half-Life 2. So I wanted to kind of like direct that idea towards you, because you guys are really good at remaking Half-Life right now. Have you thought about looking at the expansions like Blue Shift and Decay? Is that something you guys have discussed at all? Do you want to remake those?
It is right behind, now that Zen is out, questions about whether or not we were going to be remaking Opposing Force, Blue Shift, Decay are our second most the second most frequent questions for
sure. Of course.
Sure.
Yeah, totally.
And the third would be, are we coming to consoles?
What else should I ask you then?
Yeah, I'm trying to think if there's any other ones that like stay. But so in terms of the DLC, I do not think we want to go back. There are very good, qualified, and passionate teams just like we were back in the day. Like there are very passionate teams making remakes of those mods right now. You know, and we don't necessarily feel it is necessary for us to do that. You know, and as a lifelong Half-Life fan, you know, not a lifelong, but, you know, half my life, literally, I am ready, I think, to move on to something that would be more of like a spiritual successor to Half-Life. So not something that is a successor to Half-Life. I mean, if Valve allowed us to do something again in the IP, to create something like within their world, like that would be another conversation. But in terms of like what we, I think, as a team need, like, you know, to be fulfilled creatively, is to kind of take all the lessons that we have absorbed during both like a lifetime fandom of Valve games and, you know, gamers and developers, and, you know, just like we need to take all that stuff, and I think we need to do something on our own, you know, in the vein of Half-Life, you know, still do something that where we are not we don't want to like throw away this kind of audience or this attention that we've, you know, the community that we've built up over these like 16 years of development. You know, we've got like a lot of people who would be excited to see, you know, what we're doing next. And so we want to do something that will kind of fit with what their expectations are. But we also have some ideas for things that we want to do that'd be more some pivots and some interesting things. You know, we don't want to just, I don't think, like me specifically, I don't think that I want to keep trying to churn out things that are quasi Half-Life, you know, and kind of like reliant on Valve or their support or acknowledgement. You know, I'd like to kind of step out from their shadow and do some things on our own now.
Gotcha. Okay, so yeah, supporting Black Mesa in the immediate future, but yes, maybe something original from you guys in the future. That's kind of the hope.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely the hope, for sure. I mean, I've been wanting to make a video game of my own since I was, you know, a child, you know, since I was like 9 or 10 years old. So like the opportunity now, like getting out from under Black Mesa and being able to make something, you know, unique and original, but, you know, using everything we learned making Black Mesa. I mean, that just seems like a dream opportunity. I couldn't ask for anything better.
This will be a good final question. And this is, I'm not asking if you guys want to do this. I think you just answered that question. But do you think Half-Life 2 is due for a remake at this point, or do you think it still holds up, you know, just fine?
I'm actually doing a little playthrough of Half-Life 2 now. It's like I feel like I'm always behind the curve on these things. I'm just like such a Valve fanboy, maybe, but it seems like it's kind of en vogue now to like bash Half-Life 2 a little bit. It's like I'm just kind of hearing and seeing those conversations out there in the world. And
those people are wrong, man. Yeah, Half-Life 2 is the best.
I love it. I still think it's fantastic. I mean, it's not like just like playing Half-Life now. You can still see the flaws and stuff, but like, I don't know. I just think, appreciate what these guys were doing when they did it. And like, it's kind of like the statement they made, you know, the line they drew in the sand. It's just like, it's an incredible piece. I mean, if somebody can remake it, I mean, like, what's the option? Like, you're either going to remake Half-Life 2 in the Unreal Engine, that doesn't make any sense, or you could make Half-Life 2 in the Source 2, like, Half-Life Alyx VR world. Like if somebody was out there making Half-Life 2 in the, you know, Source 2 VR stuff, I would definitely give that project time and attention. I would love to see that.
Cool. Well, thank you so much, Benjamin. I really appreciate you taking the time, and congrats on the launch of Black Mesa. I'm pretty close. I thought I was closer to the end, but you guys made so much new content in Zen that it's like a whole other game. So I should be finishing up soon. But yeah, I appreciate you taking the time, and good luck with everything in the future, man.
Thank you very much. Right back at you, man. Thank you for your time, and thank you for your support and your interest. I really appreciate it. And so does the team. We all say thanks.
Again, that was Benjamin Truman, who was a writer and designer for Black Mesa, which is available right now on Steam. And just to plug my own stuff a little bit, you can actually find my full playthrough of Black Mesa on my YouTube channel if you want to see the game in action.